this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
We talked about being a believer is evident that the covenant is available to us. Being a follower, we go from believing to following. That being a follower means the covenant is being pursued. But you can be a follower without being a disciple of Jesus Christ. When we say covenant, we're talking about covenant is the Old Testament word for kingdom in the New Testament. And so when we talk about covenant, so a believer is kingdom available, a follower is kingdom pursued, a disciple is kingdom activated, but the apostolic anointing, which is us, we are the New Testament church, means that the covenant of the kingdom is manifested, meaning that you literally are living in kingdom and the kingdom is living in you. There's no other greater time in the history since all of us have been born on this earth to preach this than on this Wednesday night in March of 2020. Because while the world is shaking and the world has questions that they cannot get answers to, schools are being shut down, the government is quaking and shaking, here we are, and as believers, we live in this world, but we're not of this world. We can stand here and we can talk about that this is Goshen for us, that there is a kingdom. And I do not make light of the situation, but as I was at home last night with Pastor Mandy, I said, did you see Tyler on Facebook today? And she said, what are you talking about? I said, everybody's on self-quarantine and everybody's talking about the coronavirus and all it's going to do, and Tyler's starting businesses. Because I was sitting there and I got a bill on my phone, shameless plug for you, Tyler, you better get ready to work. And it said, TF Pressure Washing has invited you to like his page. And I'm thinking, here's a man that is not oblivious to what's going on, but he said, I'm not going to stop what God has called me to do or a vision that God has given me. Just because everybody else stops doesn't mean that I have to stop. Just because everybody else is scared doesn't mean that I have to. Don't put your scare or your fear on me. Don't put your doubt and your worry on me. I am well aware of the crises that we are living in, but you've got two choices. You can either live in fear or you can live in faith. And if you are in kingdom, can I encourage you, don't live in fear if you're living in kingdom, because you're this close to being able to break out of that mind bondage and that mind stronghold that allows you to say, God, I can live around the fear, but I don't have to let the fear get inside me. I preach it this way, that when Peter was walking on the ocean, walking on the waves, when he began to sink, the fear was what he was walking on was going to get in him. Because drowning is when the water overtakes and fills your lungs and you no longer are walking on it or floating on it or swimming in it. It is now in you. Can I encourage you, church, that though these times might be crazy and though these times might be dark out there, just as this room is spotlit today, you live in a land of Goshen. You can stand up and say, that plague can't cross the threshold of my house. You can even say in faith, if I get it, it's not going to take me out, because I, like Job, I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. And whatever happens to me, if the devil should get the upper hand on Monday, I get a double portion by the time I go to bed Tuesday. What is that? That's kingdom talk. It's not faking it till you make it. It is faking it until you see it come to pass. Last week we talked that too many believers get the cart before the horse, that we start looking for the what. We start looking for the blessings and favor within the kingdom, but before we establish the who as the king, meaning this, that there is no manifestation of kingdom without a relationship with the king. You cannot get his stuff before you get who he is. God knows, God looks past, the Bible says that there was an accusation and an indictment against the people of God because they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So God said, for us as believers to be able to live in kingdom and have for what is happening in heaven to come down on earth, it is going to have to be more than just idle words we say, because God said, I'm not listening to the game you talk. I am looking straight at your heart. And if your words don't match your heart, you're never going to see kingdom. But for those of us that said it's not just enough to be a believer, I've got to graduate to being a follower. And for those of us that said I pursued Christ long enough, but it's time that I discipline myself and become a disciple. Can I talk to somebody today? There's some things that you need to quit in your life because it's the difference between you pursuing God and you catching God. Discipline is, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go this place. I'm not going to say this. I'm going to live a life of holiness. And holiness is not a list of do's and don'ts. Holiness is that you're so much like God that you don't want to act like the world anymore. And everything the world used to have connected to you cannot stay connected to you because you are now a disciplined disciple of God. Then we move. We move from the activation of kingdom to the apostolic order of kingdom, which is who we are. I said just jokingly and halfway serious in our first session that when somebody introduces themselves to me as psalmist so-and-so, prophet is so-and-so, or apostle so-and-so, I am already checked out thinking about how good Tom Brady is or is not going to be in Tampa Bay. I no longer am paying attention to what they have to say. Why? Because you shouldn't tell me what you are. You should show me what you are. Don't tell me about the level that you're living at. Show me the level that you're living at. Actions speak louder than words, and there's a lot of chirping in the kingdom of God about how big and bad they are. But one thing the last two or three weeks has shown us is that there's an underlying fear that people have not dealt with that has been underlying in their lives, and all it took was a coronavirus to pop up and show us the cards that you're really playing with. It's amazing how reality brings out our lack of faith or our faith. I told Mandy, I said, there's three things I don't like about what I've learned about most of the people I see on social media and most of the people in our nation. These three things. Number one is how bad the media really is. It's amazing that all of the people that were Russian experts are now medical experts. So the media is worse than I thought it was. Because now it's no longer a political agenda. Now we're talking about people's lives hanging in the balance. The number two thing is how easily people are manipulated. Listen, I'm not going to punch anybody over toilet paper. I'm not going to be diving on the ground for hand sanitizer. It's just not going to happen. So we've seen how easily people can be manipulated by the media, by the situation, or by fear. And then third thing is what I just preached just a moment ago, that there is an underlying fear that people have not dealt with. And you don't see it until there's a reason to see it. And when the coronavirus popped up, and this is why I tell you, what we preach is not just for Corona, it's for North Korea too. And it's not just for North Korea, it's for the financial collapse too. And once we get past all of this, it's for when you get a pink slip. And when you get a call from your ex-husband or a call from the doctor with bad news, what we teach and preach here is not for one isolated incident. That's why I'm not going to preach Corona. I'm going to preach faith over fear. Because if we can get faith over fear, it doesn't matter what's going on around us, church. We are kingdom people, and Jesus is the king. He is the sitting king of our heart. And so everything that I went, Lord, come on now. You remember what it was like to have little kids and those little kids in the room when somebody would offer them candy or somebody would offer them something, they'd look to you like, hey, is it okay? Is it okay if I have this Snickers? I haven't had my dinner yet. Is it okay if I play this video game? I know I'm failing Algebra 1. I'm failing whatever it is. And so we look to our parents to make sure, is it okay? See, some of us need to start living life that way. That when something comes into our life and we don't know whether it's good or bad, we don't know if it's true or false, that we've got a king that we can look up and say, Jesus, is this something I should bite into? Hey, God, is this a relationship I should invest in? God, speak now because you're going to save me 4 years of my life. You're going to save me attorney's fees. You're going to save me from having to give them half of my stuff. You're going to save me from bringing kids in this world before we rip our family apart. And so, Jesus, you're the king. You're sitting on my life. I need to know. It's a part of the kingdom that I have access to the king. I need you to let me know. Is this something I should do? But because she's fine. Because he's got a good job? Oh, it must be the will of God. No, 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 no. Sometimes the good things are anti-God. Sometimes the things that you think, man, I've been praying for this. Maybe you've been praying the wrong prayer. You say, well, man, the devil didn't try to stop me. The devil doesn't mind you praying bad prayers. The devil doesn't mind your desires being messed up. But for the apostolic group, that's us. Don't tell me what you're about. Tell me, show me what you're about. Show me what God is doing in your life. Show me what God has done through you. And so last session, we talked about the kingdom people that are in the kingdom for the stuff, but not for the relationship. But I want to encourage you that a relationship with Jesus Christ will change your life. It'll change your destination. How many of you are saved and going to heaven? I talked to a man that was much like Paul here in this church on Sunday. He said, Pastor Brandon, I said, and this is how I greeted a lot of people on Sunday. I said, we high-fiving, we hugging, we waving. What are we going to do? And 9 out of 10 people just, I mean, bear hug, uncomfortable hug. Held me a little too tight and a little too long, but it's all right. I got the point. But when I talked to one man, he said this. He said, Pastor Brandon, he said, I'm not scared. I'm not going to live my life in fear. He said, the absolute worst that can happen is I die and go to heaven. And then he backed up and he said, actually, that's not the worst. That's the best. Worst case scenario, God leaves me on this earth and I get to keep preaching, keep sharing, keep witnessing. Come on now. We're talking about kingdom people now. That's a kingdom statement. A kingdom statement is it doesn't matter what happens on this earth, I'm going to live for God. If he takes me to heaven, I'm going to shout on streets of gold. If he leaves me in San Antonio, I'm going to preach on the corner. I'm going to preach at my job. I'm going to be a kingdom person. I know some of you, by what I've seen on Facebook, have been attacked because people are calling you naive and you don't care because of your faith statements. They don't understand kingdom because they're not living in kingdom. It's like people from Michigan, my family that comes down and I'll say, you want to go eat Mexican food? Oh, no, we have Mexican food in Michigan. No, you don't. No, you do not. Taco Bell is not Mexican food. Oh, it's all the same. No, it's not all the same. That's why people have been asking, well, your church hadn't shut down. We're not all the same. Well, why aren't you reacting in fear? We're not all the same. I know you know his name, but he lives in my heart. He sits on the throne of my life. When I talk about Jesus, I'm not talking about a political figure over there. I'm talking about somebody that resides in here. Somebody I talk to every day and he talks back. Somebody that gives me direction. Somebody that gives me instruction. Somebody that when I'm too weak, he steps around me and he fights for me. When I'm feeling like faint, he steps around me and holds me up. I'm not talking about a God that is far away. I'm talking about a God that we have relationship with that each and every day since the virus has come out, he has told me in a still small voice, I am still God. I am still greatly to be praised. I still sit on the throne. I'm not going to let anything happen to you and your family. You keep preaching. You keep reaching. You keep teaching. And I'm going to make sure that I keep you stirred up, that I keep you fired up, that I've been raring to go all. I love services like tonight. I love the fact that we're the only game in town tonight. I appreciate everybody that's watching. I appreciate the pastors who dismissed that you're watching us tonight. God bless you, but I love the fact that out of 2 million people and hundreds of churches, all the doors are closed, but there is a light in Goshen called Living Way, where we don't talk about the King like we don't have relationship. He is here. He is here. He is here. Turn to your neighbor and tell him he's here. I'm going to get to three things real quick. Three things. Three things that are going to help you. Three things that are going to help you every day of your life. Your relationship with him. What if you talk to Jesus? Hey, I'm trying to cut a word out of my vocabulary. Those of you that are close to me will know. I'm trying to quit saying the word bro. I say it all the time. Bro. 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 All the time. I say to people, I don't know. Every once in a while, someone will stop me and say, I'm not your brother. Okay. Right. But when I talk to God, I don't have to be in a certain posture or a certain place. It's not doth saith the Lord. Sometimes I'm like, ought to respect God because he's my elder, brother. I Hulk Hogan him all day long as brother. Brother this and brother. Sometimes when I'm going down and life gets too real, dude, God, help me. Where I draw the line is Daddy Jesus. I never say that. That's just not me. But the point I'm making is don't worry about where you are. Don't worry about what's happening around you. Remember that you have all access to Jesus Christ. And that when you say help as a believer, there is a kingdom that, and I love the fact that God not only steps in, but every angel in heaven led by Michael himself shows up to produce warfare against the enemy. Can I encourage you this week for the rest of your life? Understand that that king doesn't just reside on Sundays. He's not all, let me take a bunny trail real quick. I'm praying. My heart was hurt on Sunday for one reason. We had multiple Catholics here because their churches were closed. And these women had tears rolling down their face. And this is where my heart was broken. They're in a church and religion that places so much importance on the priest and the Catholic Church. And you got to come to Mass, and you got to talk to the Father, and you got to come to the priest, and you got to do this for communion, and you got to do this for God to hear you, and you got to do, and all of it is based around the priest as a person and Mass and the house of God in the Catholic Church. And when they close that down, women said, we don't know what to do. The one thing they taught that was always going to be available is no longer available. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to be standing on this platform, whether you're here or not. I'll preach to you through that. I'll do whatever I need to do. But I'm here to tell you, your relationship with God has nothing to do with me. My relationship with God has nothing to do with you. As great as this team is, they are a resource. Jesus is our source. As great as this band is, they are a supplement. God is the main course. I want to encourage you, in times like these, you need to know not only do you have a friend in Jesus, but that he is any place you want him to be. And whether you are by yourself on a Thursday or you're in a crowd on a Wednesday night, when you start talking to Jesus as a believer, boom, he shows up. So number one, your relationship with Jesus gives you access within the kingdom of God. Somebody say access. Have you ever tried to get through a door that was locked? Have you ever tried to get into a door that you should have had the key for that was locked? That's the worst, because you've experienced what's on the other side of the door. Getting locked out of your own house is the worst. Why? Because you pay the rent there. You pay the utilities there. You've done all of this so that you can have a place to leave. And then one little piece of metal called a key keeps you out of the place that you, let me tell you about the kingdom of God. Jesus gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And when we want access to the kingdom, all we have to do is operate with the key that he has given us. And so it makes God, makes us look foolish to God. When after everything he has done, after coming to this earth and dying on a cross, after whipping the devil in hell for 3 days, after resurrecting, walking with the people of God, and ascending into heaven where he is praying for us right now, Luke 22 says, after all of that, for us to use our prayer saying, God, I forgot my key. And that's how a lot of us live. Because he died to give us access, and because we didn't value the access, we lost. Never lose things of value. You only lose things you're comfortable having. And when you lose it, come on now. Some of you go into a panic attack when you can't find your phone. And some of you are like me, you can't find your phone, and then you look down and it was in your hand the entire time. I want to encourage you. There's some believers walking around saying, I can't. I don't have access. You've got the key right here. Look down, it's in your hand. Whether you choose to use that key or not is up to you. God is not going to die to give you the key, create the key, get the key, put it in your hand. He is not going to take your hand, put the key in your hand, put your hand on the doorknob, put the key in the door, twist your hand as it twists the knob, and then push you through. We can't expect God to do everything. The hard part is already done. All we have to do is live that life. All we have to do is say, no, fear, I'm not going to go there today with you. No, nope, I'm not going to go through lack. I've already been through that. I don't like it. I'm not going back there again. Why? Because I have access. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Can I encourage you, quit looking down, kick in the dirt, and be afraid to go to God. God has given you access. Yeah, but what about the things I've done? God knows what you've done. Put it under the blood, because once it's under the blood, he forgets about it, and so should you. And so for us to not want to meet with God means that we are living under condemnation and not conviction. Condemnation moves you away from God. It says you're wrong and you can't get right. Conviction is spirit-born. It says you messed up, but here's the path that you can go to get back on the right track with God. I want to help somebody tonight. You have wasted the first 2.5 months of this year because of stuff you said, stuff you did since you were a believer. Put it under the blood tonight. Lay it on this altar tonight and say, God, I've been needing to ask you something, but I'm too scared to ask. But now that I've dealt with that, I'm ready to come into your presence and ask what I will. And remember, you can't out-ask God. Your ask will never be as big as his gift. What you are wanting from God will never stump God. God has an inexhaustible warehouse of riches, of joy, of peace, of strength. Hear a news report after. Let me encourage you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn off the news. I thought I'd get a better amen. I got one amen from Bo in the sound booth. Some of you are addicted to bad news, addicted to drama, addicted to what Pelosi's saying, addicted to what Trump is saying, addicted to how other people are reacting. You're texting one another, and I can't find diapers, and I can't, and those are real problems, but you talking about it and complaining about it on social media is not going to get you diapers. It's not going to work. So I want to encourage you, shut it off. You say, well, I need to know what's happening. You can watch 3 minutes a day and get everything you need to know. Because what you're going to hear is it still here and it's getting worse, or it's still here and it's getting better? I'm going to tell you what you really need to do is going to help you. If you need to have news, follow a news network on Twitter, a reliable news network on Twitter. That way you don't have everybody else's voice, but you're just getting the text, a reliable news source, the text that you know how to pray, how to conduct yourself, how to live your life and say, oh, I can't go to McDonald's tonight because McDonald's is closed, but Living Way is still open. So why am I doing that? Because what you're hearing and what you're seeing is robbing you of access. Because you can't complain and receive from God at the same time. Because you can't worry and worship. Check this out. A lot of people would tell you, well, you got to worship through the worry. No, no, no. If I'm worried, the moment I start worshiping, worry has stopped. Come on now. If I'm complaining, the moment I start praising, complaining stops. If I'm fearful, the moment I start speaking faith, fear has to go. One of my favorite preachers in all of the world, he messed me up last year because he said you can be both fearful and faithful at the same time. I am here to tell you that is not so, because the Bible says it takes faith to please God. Fear does not please God because it's not a gift that he gives you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, so if you're operating in fear, the moment you start speaking in faith, come on, the moment you started making your plans to show up tonight at church, faith started building and fear started finding a way to leave your life. I need somebody in this church tonight to say, I remember that I am a child of God. I am a king's kid. I am in the kingdom. The kingdom lives in me and I have access to Christ. Stand on your feet. I have access. I'm going to tell you a funny story. Bishop designed this entire building, drew it out to scale, and built his office. I never got a key to his office. I still don't have a key to his office. We've been in this building for 15 years coming up in November. I've never knocked on his door. I've just gone in because I have access. Tyler is 16 years old. He doesn't have a key to my office, and I keep my doors locked. So I'll get a text. Dad, I'm out in the hallway. Can I come in? And I go and I unlock the door and let him come in. But here lately, because of our relationship, I still don't have a key. I still haven't given him a key because I don't have a key to his office. So why would he have a key to my office? But what Tyler asked me a few months ago is he said, Dad, this door unlocked. That way I can come and go as I please. Sometimes he's opened the door in important meetings, but he's my son. Never kicked him out because he has access as a son to the Father's house and the Father's room. I'm here to tell you, as a child of God, you have access. You don't have to knock. You've got keys to open the door. You don't have to ask permission. The Bible says you boldly approach the throne. Well, what about if Michael and Gabriel says this? I've never asked, as much as I respect Miss Judy as my elder, I've never asked, hey, Miss Judy, can I go in there? I walk right past her office, and sometimes I'm sure she's like, he shouldn't go in there right now. This is not going to be good. I've never been kicked out of Dad's office. He always says, son, come on and sit right down. And then if I sit there long enough, Dad knows me. He says, what do you need? Why are you here? Because he knows the small talk is over. You ever pray like that? Love you. I thank you. Thank you so much for what you're doing in my life. And God's like, I appreciate that, but get to it. You're in the kingdom. I'm your king. Don't treat me like I'm one of your posse. Don't treat me like I'm a lone officer. Don't try to impress me because I know the real you. I can get right to your heart. Access. Access. Mr. Gina's got it tonight. Access. Come on, is there anybody else that wants access? Is there anybody else that wants greater access? Is there anybody else that wants more access? Is there anybody else that says, I know that there's more to this than what I'm getting today? Tonight is your night. I need you to leave where you're at. I need you to come on earth as it is in heaven. This is your moment right now. If you need more access, if you need greater access, if you need God to do something big in your life, now is your opportunity. I preach king and kingdom tonight. If you are ready for kingdom tonight, I need to introduce you to the king. If you know the king, I need you to show up in this altar. I need you to lift both hands, and I need you to start talking to the king. I love boldness. I see people moving out in boldness tonight. Amen. Entire family's coming down. Brian, this is the first time I've seen you without the walker today or crutches, man. Come on, that's access, access, access. If there's anybody in here that has never given their life to Jesus Christ, it's the difference between king, which leads to kingship. You got to know the King Jesus. It's the difference between heaven and hell, life and death, eternity with Christ, eternity without Christ. You don't know Jesus. I don't know how you're dealing with what we're facing without him. The Holy Ghost calms me, brings peace, brings strength, brings leadership, brings all of the things that we need in these moments for all of us. But if you don't know Jesus, or perhaps you met him at a camp a long time ago, at a Billy Graham crusade a long time ago, perhaps you were watching Christian television 12 years ago and you accepted him into your life, but you haven't lived it, now's your opportunity. We've got a place in this altar. We're going to introduce you to Jesus. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we had three radical fillings at the end of the 11 a.m. service on Sunday morning. I'm talking about flat on their back, speaking in another language. God just wrecked them. If you've never had that experience, more than experience, it's a power that you live and walk in, exist in. Then our baptismal pool is ready for you today. But for those of you that are in this altar today, I want to encourage you from the youngest to the eldest. Got a lot of young people in this altar today. Access is access. Eric, man, God bless you. Me and Eric, we grew up together here in this church. Been coming a long time, but he sits over here. I never get to talk to him. I talked to him last week. Access, man, you got access. Getting ready to do something great. We talked about it last week. Access, you got access. Do it. You got it. During this altar today, I want you to lift both hands. And I want you to talk to God, not like he's far away. Talk to him like he's looking at you square in the eye. Don't be scared to talk to him. Don't be scared to ask him. Don't be scared to declare what you need. Don't be scared to declare what you're missing in your life. It is in this moment right now that God is saying, you are kingdom people. I am your king. You live in my kingdom. And everything that is available to you in heaven, I'm going to bring it to this earth. Spiritual turns into tangible. Let me say that again. Spiritual turns into tangible. You might need peace and strength and anointing tonight, but I'm going to tell you, you might need your rent paid tonight. You might need groceries tonight. Spiritual and tangible go hand in hand. God has you tonight. One more time, I need everybody in this building to say access. We're going to worship, and I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to pray that prayer Bishop wants me to pray over everybody in the house, that the blood be applied. Let's pray.